Well, joining me now is Douglas Carswell, UKIP MP for Clacton. Good evening to you, Mr. Carswell. I just wondered, do you think there's any point in governments having targets for immigration when it's simply impossible to meet them?
Well, I don't think there's much point in this lot claiming to have targets, because clearly they don't. But the minister talks about this as being disappointing. I think it's profoundly shocking. The primary function of government, surely, is to control the country's borders. And if they can't even do that, if they can't even manage who comes into the country, then they're simply not up to the job of basic statecraft. I think the minister needs to recognise that until we address the nature of our relationship with the EU, we're never going to be able to control immigration. And I think these figures are pretty dire.
Would you accept, though, to pick up the point there from the Institute of Directors, you know, a lot of these are students, some of whom could be very valuable to our economy. We're also told the figures show that about 853,000 people now resident of Britain are Polish people. And I suspect you would say that many of them are hardworking people who do contribute to our society.
Absolutely, but buried away in the report are also some statistics that show that actually, far from helping us get the people with the skills we need, our EU obligations actually prevent us from attracting the best and the most able. Over the course of the year, there were about 7,000 non-EU, non-British extra employers in work, but there were 250,000 non-British EU nationals. Now, that suggests that for every one non-EU national in work, there are 35 EU nationals, and that suggests to me that we're hiring people on the basis of the fact that they happen to be born inside the EU rather than the fact that they're the best at doing a job. We're saying no to computer programmers from India and yes to people with criminal records from Eastern Europe. Surely that's wrong, surely that's unfair, and surely that's not good for business.
It's a slightly different point, but it's certainly something that's in the news today. This horrific discovery in Austria of, we believe, perhaps up to 50 decomposed bodies. These are obviously, one assumes, people from outside the EU trying to get into the EU. There's a summit about all this in Vienna today. Do you think that can get anywhere?
It's appalling, isn't it? We will continue to see these humanitarian disasters until we address the problem. Now, Australia, where there were many boats trying to land in Australia, it's now over a year since illegal boats landed in Australia. They stopped the boats, and in stopping the boats, they stopped the humanitarian tragedies that were happening. If we want to prevent humanitarian disasters like this happening, like the one in Tilbury a few months ago, we need to stop the mass movement of people. And if we're not prepared to tackle it the way the Australians did, I'm afraid it's going to carry on.
But in that sense, I mean, you know, you've made your point about the EU, but isn't this a European problem, and all of Europe has to work together on this specific aspect of it?
On the contrary, a little bit like with monetary policy, if you Europeanize something, you simply pass the buck, you pass responsibility, and you allow inertia to prevail. Germany very recently announced that they were going to suspend the Dublin Convention. That means that instead of claiming asylum in the first country that you come to in Europe, you can go to Germany and claim asylum then. By taking that approach, actually, by Europeanizing the Dublin Convention, if you like, we're making it more attractive for large numbers of people to try to come to this country and to Europe. What we need to do is we need to take the Australian approach, we need to allow nation states to have control over their immigration policy, and we need to stop pretending that by Europeanizing the problem, we're going to magically solve it. It's by Europeanizing this problem that it persists and gets worse.
And just a final point. The House of Lords, we found out will be some new members today. None of them are representative of your party, despite the fact you got 4 million votes in the last election. What do you think of that?
Well, that's pretty unfair, isn't it? But I think what's even more unfair is not about what's in it for my party, what's in it for the people. You know, some of these people might be very nice people. They might have given large figures to various politicians. But wouldn't it be nice if the people who made our law were actually elected by the rest of us? I think the time has come actually to agree that the House of Lords in its current form, it's illegitimate. Some people have called it a House of Troffers. I think that's perhaps a little unfair. But I think we need far-reaching reform. It's wrong that political placemen can be put in there, allowed to claim £300 a day on expenses without so much as even doing a stroke of work. That's got to change.
And just a a final thought on that. I mean, the United States seems to manage with an upper house of 100 people. We've got more than 800 people. Would it be a good idea to have fewer of them anyway?
Many fewer. And the wonderful thing about senators, I met one or two, the wonderful thing about senators is if the people don't like them, they can sack them. With our lot, unfortunately, once they're made a peer, they can keep coming. Some of them even have criminal records, and they keep on drawing down £300 a day. My constituents would be outraged if they could see some of the things that go on in Westminster. I think we've got to shake up the House of Lords, and we've got to make sure that the people that make our laws are accountable to the rest of us.
Douglas Carswell, thanks very much for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you.